Case number 14-1095, Romero Lopez et al. Petitioners v. National Labor Relations Board. Mr. Solon for the petitioners, Mr. Heller for the respondent.
Mr. Solon, good morning.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Aaron Solon. I represent Ramiro Lopez and 31 other employees at Latino Express.
All right, now before you start, tell us why there's anything left of your petition.
The board and Lopez are in agreement that this petition is not moot because this Lopez can still be awarded relief. Namely, the union is back in power, but it's only through a settlement agreement that the employer signed last November. But this the board admits that this court's decision on whether or not the petition was valid and whether or not the petition was collected during the year will control whether or not that settlement agreement remains. So the board, moving back to the issue of whether or not the petition is valid.
Sir, can I just clarify what your answer was there? So is your position that if you were granted intervention, we'd then have to go back to the board, and the board would have to throw out the settlement?
Yes, that's our position, and that's the board's position as well, is that this case will control over the settlement whether or not the union is a valid union. Because if petitioners are correct that this is a minority union, which it is if you look at the joint appendix and look at the signatures collected, 66% of the employees stated they were against the union, but merely because of a technical error on the part of the employer, because we were denied intervention, this was declared a minority union. So if it goes back and this is a minority union, this board can't enter into a settlement agreement that allows a minority union to exist. It would be allowed to do by settlement agreement what it couldn't do by under the statute, as the Supreme Court recognized in Lady Garment Workers.
I thought there was precedent that was fairly settled that interveners can't intervene just to upset a settlement agreement between parties.
Well, we aren't intervening just to upset the settlement agreement. We tried to intervene before the board.
I agree with that, but at this point, that would be the only. You haven't intervened yet because you weren't allowed, rightly or wrongly. If you were to now, that would. If you're telling us that would be the only. That would be the effect.
Right, and in fact, the Third Circuit's decision in the SEC case, which we cited in our reply to the board's petition to voluntarily dismiss the employer's appeal, its enforcement order, says that when there's a question of intervention, the parties can't settle to moot that case when the issue of the intervention is on appeal, because we were proper parties before the board. And we're proper parties before the board because the employees, the core right protected by the National Labor Relations Act, is the right of employees to either choose or reject union representation.
Well, we've had recent precedent in this court, in Idaho Conservation League, that would not allow an intervention the aim of it was to stop the settlement.
Well, under the statute, the settlement is trying to accomplish, though, what is contrary to the Act. And I'm not aware of that case, but the board and I are both in agreement, or the board and the petitioners are in agreement that the settlement will control, and it will control the legal rights of the board, it will control the legal right of the employer.
I'm sorry, the settlement will have control, correct?
No, this court's decision will control whether the settlement remains. As this court's decision will decide whether or not interveners, or the petitioners, the employees, were wrongly denied intervention, and it will decide whether or not the petition was actually valid because it was collected merely 20 days before the end of the certification year.
I'm confused because there are a bunch of case numbers here in the caption. Your settlement agreement settles only the allegations in the above captioned cases. One of them is 13 CA 079765, which was the union's charge of the ULP charge against Latino Express for the withdrawal of the recognition of the union, which was based on the decertification petition. So how is that still a live issue?
Well, it's,
that is the validity or not of the decertification.
Right.
The UOP based on that has been withdrawn or has been settled.
Well, the UOP has been withdrawn, but the board's order from this case still remains. And if the board's order is overturned, we would go back and we would determine whether or not the petitioner's petition was actually valid. The employer, now it would be an odd procedural position because generally the employer is against the board.
But the allegation in the case caption I just read was a UOP based on the withdrawal of recognition of the union, which was based on the decertification petition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been settled. This is settled, that allegation.
It's settled by the employer. Yes.
And the board.
But the board admits, and the union and the employer both agreed in their motion that the petitioner's result would still control.
Well, even if your petition, let's just assume your petition were valid,
mm-hmm.
For purposes of this question, could not an employer still be guilty of unlawfully withdrawing recognition of the union in the way it responded to that petition?
No, because there's no allegation that it did anything wrong besides rely on a petition because it was only circulated 20 days before the end of the year. So that's the only question on the validity of the petition, and in terms of the legal validity of the petition. But at the actual trial that the ALJ held, the employer only didn't even attempt to validate any of the signatures. In fact, it was the general counsel that validated only 20 of the 54 signatures. And so
maybe I'm misrecollecting this, that there are questions about whether, given everything else that was going on in the case, it was appropriate, the improper bargaining.
So is your question about taint?
In this case, even assuming the petition signatures were valid, could the board have made a showing that the withdrawal was improper because there had been lack of good faith bargaining? There was an avenue to refer the petition or for you to send the petition to the board.
The board, the ALJ, on page 13 of the decision, that's at Joint Appendix 347, mm-hmm. says that the GC's argument on taint is a thin read, and he made no finding on taint. And he said, in fact, there's no evidence of any taint because the employer ULPs didn't occur until after the petition was collected. So it's our position that the employer ULPs have no bearing on this.
The withdrawal of recognition occurred after those potentially tainting events.
But the signatures were not tainted. The signatures were not tainted because the ULPs occurred after.
I'm talking about tainting the withdrawal of recognition by the employer.
And I'm saying that the board concedes that it doesn't matter, that the only reason the ALJ even reached the question of validity is because the later ULPs do not concern and do not undermine the petition. Because the petition was collected before they occurred. So there's no tainting of the showing of interest. And generally, because there's no tainting of the showing of interest, it still remains a valid petition. And if I could move...
Can you just walk through, just step by step, your best case scenario? So meaning you get to the merits, you prevail, there is this agreement that has been entered into. What happens?
Right. The best case scenario would be returned to the board. We would be granted intervention. Once we're granted intervention, we would be able to validate the signatures and say these are proper signatures. And at that point, the union would be a minority union, and the withdrawal from 2012 would be in effect, and bargaining that is going on now between the employer and the union would end because it is a minority union.
And what happens with this agreement that's been entered into in that best case scenario?
To the unfair labor practices that deal with withdrawal, that would be vitiated. But to the other unfair labor practices that have nothing to do with this case, those would remain, and the board's remedies would remain in those cases.
Could imposition of, I guess what you call imposition, having the union stay in place be a proper remedy for the other unfair labor practices that were found here?
No, because it's a minority union, because the showing of interest clearly establishes that it's a minority union, and that remedy would go against the clear purpose of the act. It would go against the Supreme Court's decision in Lady Garment Workers, where they tried to reimpose a union on a runaway shop.
Could the board not find that the other improper practices undertaken by the employer could have affected or make it an improper time to evaluate to whether a petition is proper or not because the union was so, I'm just assuming here, I know everything was settled, yeah. so hobbled by dealing with an employer who was engaged in a lack of good faith bargaining, was came up with that Drivers Protection Act, changing terms without that. And so imagine there was no question about the withdrawal. That just wasn't in the case. Couldn't there have been a remedy, the same remedy imposed for those unfair labor practices?
No, because if there was no withdrawal in the case, there would be no need to re-recognize the union. But the central purpose
is there board law that says that?
Is there board
I guess my understanding was that you could have this exact same remedy for those other unfair labor practices.
They can impose a bargaining order, but the question in this case is whether a bargaining order is improper when it's a minority union. And when the union was established as a minority union, based on a petition that the board agrees is untainted. And the board, the ALJ even concedes that the petition is only considered because UOPs have no taint. And so, you know, generally in an election, the board allows or imposes a bargaining order and they stop the election from occurring to remedy those unfair labor practices for the purpose of restoring laboratory conditions in order for the majority to speak. But here the majority has already spoken. So there's no need, so the board can remedy those other unfair labor practices through notice posting or other remedies, but reimposing the union, I think, would contravene directly the statute. And I do want, unless there's any other questions on mootness, I do want to move on to the Chelsea Industries question, which I think is an important question as well. And here, the board admits that this petition is a valid showing of interest that can be used for an election as long as that election was requested after the end of the certification year. However, the board has held that this exact same showing of interest collected at the exact same time cannot be used as a showing of interest to decertify the union through other purposes, namely a withdrawal. And that's why the board's decision on that question is arbitrary and irrational. It serves only to suppress the legal rights of Lopez and a majority of his co-workers who want nothing more than to do with the union. And the board relies primarily on this court's decision in Chelsea Industries. The Chelsea Industries is an apposite because there, the employer actually received the petition during the year. And because the employer received the petition during the year, it's much more akin to a situation where the board receives an election petition during the year. And if the board receives an election petition during the year, it has to openly reject it. It has to dismiss it. But that same petition can be used outside of the year to effectuate a withdrawal, just as this petition should be able to be used outside of the year to effectuate a withdrawal. The board can use it to effectuate election. The employer should be use it to effectuate a withdrawal because it's the same showing of interest. And the board's gives a litany, parade of horribles, but all of those are equally applicable to a petition that is collected for purposes of an election. And it's the exact same petition that requests an election and requests a withdrawal. And I'm running through my time here. Just quickly on intervention. Intervention was proper. The core purpose of the National Labor Relations Act is to protect employee rights. Also, the employees were duly prejudiced, just as they were in this court's decision found in Ozark, where an employer was not allowed to present evidence. The employees were kept out of the hearing, and their attorney was sequestered. They weren't even allowed to participate or whisper in the employer's ear when they botched the case. So unless the board has any other questions, we'll...
All right. Mr. Heller.
May it please the court, Joel Heller for the National Labor Relations Board. After its employees voted for union representation, Latino Express unlawfully withdrew recognition from their chosen representative. The board's finding of that violation is based on two independently sufficient grounds.
Can you start out by giving us the board's version of why the case is properly before us at this stage?
The petition for review filed by Lopez was not affected by the settlement. That only the petition for review filed by Latino Express was part of the settlement. So it's the board's position Lopez's petition and the issues it raises are still before the court.
So you agree? Do you agree with the scenario under which the case would continue?
The best case scenario for them.
The best case scenario for them as he elucidated it, is not something you disagree with. You agree that that could happen, and in that situation, the fact that this agreement has been entered into wouldn't matter.
We agree that if the court rules for Lopez in this case, that would affect the settlement. The settlement does not moot Lopez's petition for review or override any decision from this court.
All right. What happens then with your settlement of 079765?
There are several cases that were settled.
Right. Yeah. Is the ULP based on the withdrawal of recognition? You've settled that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What remains of the validity or not of the decertification petition on which Latino Express based its withdrawal of recognition?
Well, part of the settlement was that the Latino Express would have to comply with the board's order. And if this court determines that part of the board's order was wrong, then the board can no longer require Latino Express to comply with that part of the order as incorporated into the settlement.
What of course, part of the order are we talking about?
That the withdrawal of recognition was unlawful, and thus the remedy is an affirmative bargaining order that Latino Express and the union have to bargain for a reasonable period.
Would the other unfair labor practices that you settled
mm-hmm.
equally support affirmative bargaining order?
The other ones from this case, the bad faith bargaining and the unilateral change, mm-hmm. the remedy for both of those
would that include an affirmative bargaining
would include order? Affirmative bargain order as along with other things, a notice posting
sure,
and
sure.
withdrawal. There was also a different case that was settled that involves, it's not before the court, and so that would still stand, and the bargaining order did not apply.
Is there an affirmative bargaining order remedy in that case?
No.
Okay, but no. As to, imagine the unlawful withdrawal claim were extracted from your settlement agreement, would that change in any way the remedy that would be imposed? That could have been imposed lawfully by the board and thus would be enforced by the settlement agreement.
Right. If the board determines that if the court determines that Latino Express was privileged to withdraw recognition when it did, then it remains privileged to withdraw yes. recognition if it wants to. Now the board cannot force it to bargain as part of the settlement.
I thought you just said the other violations that it committed would also support the affirmative bargaining order. And so it would still have that obligation with respect to the other unfair labor practices that it committed and that you have settled then that the interveners are not involved in.
That is correct. If intervention is granted and it goes back on remand, then the board will process the case in light of this court's decision and then will determine what remedies are still appropriate at that case, at that point.
And then a second question of if intervention were to be denied or if we were to decide that the case were moot or whatever, so if things were to go back just with the settlement in place, what opportunities would there be or how would the representation issue be able to be raised and when?
Again, so in this scenario, does the court affirms the board's order and denies the petition for review.
Either affirm the board order or dismiss the petition for review.
Sure.
Those are
right.
Whatever.
Okay.
Status.
So essentially, the board
stays status
okay.
quo from our perspective.
Yes. So what happens in that situation is, under the terms of the settlement, the parties are required to bargain for a reasonable time, which is defined as at least 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's going to go back to the regional director in the Region 13 in Chicago. Once the regional director determines that the unfair labor practices have been remedied, it is then the regional director's determination about how to proceed, how to process the decertification petition, which remains on file, as far as I know, with the board's regional office. So that is the decision will be made at that point after the reasonable period of time for bargaining has elapsed.
But their pending petition would not be processed during that 6 month period.
Not during that period.
And that's
no.
a function of board precedent.
Yes, that is the blocking charge in which the board has determined, has long determined and is not being challenged in this case, that an election held in the shadow of an unremitied unfair labor practice would not be a fair election. And so it is temporarily put on hold until the unfair labor practices are remedied. And so as to the withdrawal of recognition, which, of course, the board believes is unlawful, and we wouldn't get into any of these issues if that decision is affirmed, it's well settled that a union enjoys irrebuttable, conclusive presumption of majority support for the first year after it is certified as a bargaining representative. And so it follows from that that evidence arising during the certification year cannot serve as the basis for an employer's unilateral withdrawal of recognition even outside of the year. Giving effect to such evidence would negate the presumption because the challenge to majority support would occur during a time at which the that support is presumed. But that is what happened. It is uncontested that the signatures were gathered during the certification year. And the interest, the board's interest, Congress's interest in encouraging stable bargaining relationships and honoring the choice of employees who choose to be represented are furthered by that principle, which applies equally in this case. The union would face undue pressure to produce what the Supreme Court has called hothouse results if it knows that it could be turned out, that employee dissatisfaction could foment during that year and lead to an immediate withdrawal at the end of the year. Ultimately, this is a question of the board balancing interests, as this court recognized in Chelsea Industries. There are various principles at play. The idea that the interest in stable bargaining relationships and giving effect to employee choice, both the employees who choose representation and those who do not. And the board has determined, and that determination is worthy of deference, that this certification year doctrine is for the best furthers those principles. Lopez mentioned that the same signatures could affect or could lead to an election outside of the certification year, but an election is different than a unilateral withdrawal of recognition. With an election, the actual test of majority support occurs outside of the certification year. When the signatures are just supporting an employer's unilateral withdrawal, then the operative evidence arises during the certification year, a time in which the union's majority support is presumed.
Would you be able to just briefly address or try to explain to me what the board's even-handedly applied standard for intervention is? Because I surely couldn't discern it.
Well,
the decisions that are here.
Intervention is by statute, a matter of discretion for the administrative law judge, and so the standard is abuse of discretion. Though I would like to say as an initial point, if the court agrees with the board on the certification year issue, there's really nothing left to the intervention issue because there's nothing that, and this is a factor considered in the decision whether to grant intervention, there's nothing that no evidence that Lopez could have provided that would have changed the outcome in this case. It is uncontested that the signatures were gathered during the certification year.
To get back to, again, what the standard, even when courts have discretion, they're supposed to have standards that are even-handedly applied and
sure.
some basis for discerning
mm-hmm.
how those standards, in fact, how that standard and factors are applied from case to case in a way that is even-handed.
Right.
And I could, for the life of me, figure out what was applied in this decision and how it was different from other decisions where intervention was granted.
Sure. Well, there was the oral ruling by the administrative law judge mm-hmm. At JA 40 through 55, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And so one factor, as I just mentioned, is whether the putative intervener could bring any evidence to the case that would change the outcome.
Well, I said here we could have certified those. We could have done a heck of a lot better job of certifying those signatures than occurred.
But the authentication of the signatures doesn't matter if the court agrees that the withdrawal was unlawful because the signatures were gathered during the certification year. Those were independently sufficient grounds that the board found for holding the withdrawal unlawful. And I don't think that it can be an abuse of discretion for the administrative law judge not to predict that Latino Express would not satisfy its burden of authenticating the signatures. They certainly had an incentive to do so as to avoid unfair labor practice liability, and is clear from their conduct during negotiations, they had no interest in maintaining a bargaining relationship with the union. And
was something different there from other cases where intervention was granted?
So in some of the cases where intervention was granted that Lopez cites, intervention was unopposed. So that's a difference between these cases, certainly. There's no reason to set out an analysis whether or not to grant intervention if intervention is unopposed. Some of the cases, well, I would say that the cases that we cite in our brief, several of them are Court of Appeals cases affirming the denial of intervention below. But there are no cases that Lopez cites in which a Court of Appeals reversed a denial of intervention as an abuse of discretion.
Do you think it would be helpful for the board to articulate sort of clear standard and factors so that courts and parties can know that rules are being applied even-handedly on intervention?
Well, certainly, and I think if you read the ALJ's oral ruling, which was adopted by the board, he does give explanations, and that is that the relevant question is whether there's some kind of circumstances, whether the petition was developed in some way factually that does not allow the employer to rely on it. Those are the relevant facts. And so Lopez's, as he said in his motion to intervene, he wanted to bring evidence as to his experience with the union, his reason for disliking the union. That's quoted at JA 44. And the administrative law judge determined that that evidence was not relevant to the question of whether there was some kind of factual problem with the petition, such as the premature signatures. He also made the point that, as is set out in the NLRA, there's a distinction between representation cases and unfair labor practice cases, and this is an unfair labor practice case. Well, the evaluation of employee sentiment comes out in a representation case. And so you see that in some of the cases we cite, the courts affirming the denial of intervention by employees opposed to a union in the unfair labor practice case against their employer, and even in cases where the remedy was a bargaining order, or even in cases where the employees had signed a decertification petition. There's that statutorily provided distinction between the two types of proceedings is what the administrative law judge maintained when he ruled on the motion for an intervention.
All right.
That's there for the questions. Yeah.
Thank you. Does Mr. Solom have any time? All right, why don't you take 1 minute?
Just I wanted to make a few quick points. First, the employees are still aggrieved here because they're subject to a union that is a minority union. And the board misspoke. They cannot impose a bargaining order here because the petition was not tainted, just as this court refused to enforce a bargaining order upon employees in Tenneco, which is cited in the board's brief, for the same reason that there is no taint of the petition here, because any unfair labor practices that occurred after the collection of the majority petition. And the board talked a little bit about how they can treat an election differently than withdrawal, but the board neither makes a distinction nor a difference, because the test in Levitz is at the time withdrawal occurs, does the union lack majority support? So the NLRB's distinction says, well, they collected the signatures during the year, but the withdrawal occurs outside of the year, and that's clear under Levitz. Now, real quick to your point, Judge Millett, you're right that the board standard for intervention is a mess, and I want to correct the board. In our intervention, the intervention in both Renaissance and Boeing, which are cited in our brief, were not unopposed. They were opposed. The board has no standards, and the question here is prejudice, and were the employees actually prejudiced? And if the signature was collected during the year, so if we can overcome the hurdle of Chelsea Industries, we're clearly prejudiced because the employer didn't even attempt to defend the employee's petition. Thank you.
All right.